specifically going through a Christmas sermon series right now called Christmas Playlist. In this series, we are looking at two Christmas songs, learning about their background. We're going to grow not only in knowledge about the songs, but grow in a spiritual connection to the songs. I'm going to break down Christmas songs and bring so much more depth to the song. I'm going to learn about the background of the Christian hymn, It Is Well. We know about the tragic accident at sea with the man's family going down off the sunken ship, and then he writes that song while on a boat in the same general area. The song moves from head to heart, and you grow in your love for Christ and the strength that he gives you to trials through learning the background of that song. Many Christian songs are like this. Maybe you remember learning about a certain Christian hymn writer or background to a Christian song, and it grew in your spiritual connection to it. Today we're going to be learning about the background of two songs, and really the people connected to those songs. In doing this, there's one hope that the stories of these people, the hearts they still entered, the good they brought into the world in spite of it, and the common unity in Jesus will deepen our spiritual connection to the hymns. The first song is Angels from the Realm of Glory. This song was written by James Montgomery. James Montgomery was born in 1771 in Scotland. His father was a Moravian pastor, and his father and mother were called to be missionaries in the West Indies. They placed their 6-year-old son, James, in a Moravian community in Ireland. He went to boarding school in England shortly after, and it didn't go well. During his time at school, he learned his parents had passed away while serving. He got home lost from school and was dismissed from the academy. He tried to work as a baker in a local grocery store, and that didn't go well either. He basically became a homeless traveler around the English countryside for most of his teen years. During time, he discovered he loved writing poetry and was half decent at it. And he would sell poetry and some of his poems to make a few bucks to be able to earn some food for himself. In his early 20s, he found himself in Sheffield, England, and connected with a gentleman named Joseph Gales, who owned and operated the local newspaper called the Sheffield Register. Joseph Gales was outspoken about his political beliefs, and thus he dared fight for publishing articles that were against the British Crown. He eventually fled England for fear of more intense political persecution. This led James Montgomery, now in his early 20s, the opportunity to own and operate the publishing company. James Montgomery was a deep Christian thinker and activist. He used the influence he had through the publishing company to bring a voice to the voiceless. He wrote about the abuse of chimney sweeps in England, and was a staunch abolitionist who wrote poems against slave trade. He was imprisoned twice for writing in support of Bastille Day and writing about the violence the police did to the people in his town during the riot. He was a prolific writer, mainly in poems, which blended mostly into writing hymns. Many see him as the third most important hymn writers after John Newton and John Wesley. One night, when James was reading Luke chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, he made an impression on him, and he started to write what we know today as Angels from the Realm of Glory. And hopefully, you can go to the next slide. The verse is Luke 2, verse 13 to 14. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared to the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those who on Him favor rest." The person who wrote the melody was a blind organist and songwriter named Henry Swann. Once the lyrics of the melody, it was first sung in a church on Christmas Day in 1821. Tim Montgomery, who really was marked by tragedy with his parents, he spent his last done all these things to turn him away from God in bitterness. Instead, he chose to keep his faith in Jesus, even when things probably didn't make sense. He finally relied on God for hope and strength, but developed in his faith to see how believing Jesus meant to engage with the societal issues of the day. Giving his daily Bible reading, forced into these ways and stepped out and stood against the darkness he experienced in life and also saw in life. He was a man who saw Christ in his kingdom and lived in the here and now, and was a leader in the movement to end slave trade and slavery in general. He lived along with several other Christians around that time. Was one of the first Christians to speak in opposition to the British crown in this way. And began the idea that because God took flesh, all humans have divine dignity. But he tried to dive a bit deeper into how we make things. He was devoting on the end of 44 by day, and the way he found that the English in the realm of glory by nature are connected. There is different devotion that seems different styles and hymns. This time of the year is one about the warm feelings of nostalgia it can bring, and that he's saying about doing some good things, go back to one place as usual, or that doing good in society, we have need to be grounded in Jesus. It seems that I'm doing this. He found the place of Jesus as the light of the world. He'll be doing from the understanding of human dignity, letting towns and farms let God take me on human flesh. Was mostly connected to fighting for the rights of those who were being transported across the world against their will. Can you go to the next? This slide I'm configured for this one? It says something about how we should understand what it means to be human and see others. Some limitations to the incarnation is that we are not animals or evolved from animals. God sees the human body as separate from animals and where he chose to dwell in. He came in the form of a baby and one of the most vulnerable of any group of people, which means he cares for even the most vulnerable in the world. His physical strength is both seen from far away and suffered nearby. This means that Jesus was to draw all different people to him, no group was to be excluded. His faith was seen as a political attack on King Herod, who had ordered the killing of the boys in their town number two. Coming to Jesus coming to earth, engaged political leaders, and means that those who follow Jesus engage with societal issues and ideas. Once we see fun, this contrast with an ethical framework simply from the birth of the boy. What else do you guys? Jesus couldn't find anywhere else. And so, it was through this framework that he could write his Christmas carol and many others and also be on the front line of human slavery. It was through his efforts as a Christian, along with several other Christians, that slave trade came to an end. But after it ended, there were still some implications of what happened, which is where our next song leads to. Goes out on the mountain. The song is an unknown title and has actually formed. But we know he's spreading among African American slaves on the southern plantations in the mid to early 1800s. The song was written among many that are called spirituals. Spirituals are a unique category of song. There are songs that were made by and sung by slaves on the plantations in the south. After the Civil War, a Christian organization called American Missionary Association started work to start schools for newly freed slaves. You know the next one. One of these schools became Fisk University, still in existence today in Nashville, Tennessee. These early days, it struggled massively with finances. The school had a cappella group and would sing the spirituals on campus with Europe. George Wade had the idea to take the group on tour across America to raise money to keep the school afloat. This idea was not initially with mixed emotions by the school board. The Sabbath spiritual was something sacred to their group and did not want these songs to be seen as entertainment or taken lightly. Gradually, they were able to convince the board that it was a good idea on two reasons. One, they were running out of ideas to keep the school afloat in general, and they found out a way for the world to know that the school was not only producing, but also growing an appreciation for these beautiful songs and empathy for the stories behind them. The first part went well, and they became known as the Fifth Jubilee Singers. They went on to tour in Europe and across the world, and so forth to this day. This creates the reason why we have this song, Float Away on the Mountain. It took its form in forms of darkness and shadows of society, and brought the light to bless millions of believers and non-believers across the world. Soon after the school started to have its continued success, the professor by the name of John Wesley Worth, Jr., who worked at the school, tried to write some studies in the book of Psalms so that they would be preserved. He included Goat Tower and Mound in 1907. Because these Psalms were published, they could be printed and distributed to churches and schools and classes anywhere in the world. In the two Psalms and the stories behind them, we see the brokenness of all of them. One Psalm is entitled Strange Man Who Never Knew Sinners and Was Homeless for 15 years. Another Psalm is in the dark shadows of slavery and plantations. The background of these Psalms remind us that there is darkness in the world, that Jesus and his followers push against the darkness and bring light into the world. So, it's a moment to see these stories and the actual lyrics of the Psalms together. From the Psalm, Angels of the Realm of Glory, one of the great of James Montgomery, and his passion for freedom of white people, it is no surprise that each stanza talks about a different group that encountered Jesus. In the first verse, we see angels, created spiritual beings. In the second verse, we see shepherds, who are lowly, but also occasionally near Jesus. In the third verse, he writes about the sages, wise men, or kings, however you want to describe them, as a higher force, but still occasionally farther away from Jesus. In the fourth verse, you see they talk about the saints. And then in the final verse, he writes about how God gathered all nations to him, and every knee shall bow. So this is the picture of Jesus' kingdom being made up of a diverse group of people from across the world. He wanted to instill in Christians a big vision for the kingdom of God to come into the world. Jesus is going to gather all nations to himself, and every knee will bow. Jesus will be called king, whether any other earthly king or ruler. He has this viewpoint of seeing the values of the kingdom of God pushing against the ways of the world, and he wants to bring those values to actuality. So, becoming human means that our beliefs need to take action, which they're addressing in the next song, and the lyrics of that song. So, the Sermon on the Mount, the song seems to stay focused on the subject. Most likely because the creators of the song connected more with this group, the lowly shepherds, instead of kings. And in the third stanza, there are words used like lowly and humble, resonating with the life of the slave. These verses are a mix of the sadness of a broken world and the joy of Christ. The joy of Christ being born into the world gives a hope that needs to be shared. The song is a sign of focus and attention. Go and talk. The student choir wrestled with this to the demonstrable world that stayed on campus. The people face options are regularly flowing out into the world and telling Jesus, talking about Jesus through their stories and songs. You'll never know the extent to which the lives are changed and touched through their song course. So, what does it mean for you and I? How do these songs and the lyrics of these songs, the background, the verses used, come to actually affect and impact our lives? So you may not have the gift of singing, like the other territory and being opposite to a contrast like James Montgomery. But here is the big takeaway. The stories behind these Christmas songs help us recognize that Christmas is a reminder that no matter your past thoughts or setbacks in life, God wants to use you to further His good in the world. We saw the setbacks and trials of these stories today. What is your time with a setback then? And how do you handle them? How do you process them? Do you have a victim mentality? You tend to blame others for your misfortune, focus a lot on self, and maybe feel entitled. Do you let it fail to find you? This is something you should have personally wrestled with. When I was younger, I struggled with school life and was made fun of. I was called dumb and stupid. This is something that the liberal employer has not really ever been able to shake off myself. And I wrestled with still to death. So is there a trial or something in your past and misfortune that happened that you wrestle with that tends to define you? Do you let your substance get the better of you through negative self-talk around it? Maybe you set back some days and just seem so self-defeating that you don't even want to move forward anymore with this life or trying to overcome this setback or misfortune. And lastly, do you work in with your first step for strength? Do you use phrases like, I'm in the mess, or I can just pass this on my own? Or do you look to the birth of Christ for strength? Do you own what has happened in the past, process it, and move forward in a healthy way? Could God actually use your story to bless others? You let God define you instead of your past. Each one of us has had trials and setbacks. God still wants to use you for His good. So what did that look like? We also understand that God gives us in His good and the general Christian's idea of good. There is a general good of person just being nice or doing nice things to people. It comes from a greater ethical framework. It's really just random acts of kindness. Just be a good person, just be nice. There's no bigger goal or picture to tie into. It's just kind of a command to do. And you don't necessarily need to be a Christian to do that. You don't need to be a Christian to give it to someone. So there is also His good working in the world. His good means you're pointing others to the one who is absolutely good, and that is Jesus. His good means your moral framework is shaped by Jesus, His life and teachings. His good means you are looking to bring His kingdom values to your neighborhood and home. So, two categories of looking at this, there are big steps and small steps you can take. Big steps, these are for the big dreamers, people who want to impact a lot of people. So, your view is just like seeking to work in bringing kingdom values to society by advocating for or against certain issues in society. Maybe there's something close to your heart, maybe there's something you want to fight for. And so you have that big step you want to take to get up there and impact many people's lives through advocating for societal issues. Another way to do this is you want to start maybe writing a blog, a book, or writing some way to impact people for Christ. These are two examples, so maybe there's been something on your heart, a big vision, a big dream that God has put on your heart to impact people for His kingdom. Friends, encourage you today to look to Christ, look to His church, to encourage you to see what the next steps would be in taking that. Once you know your life, that's way too big for me. I'm not that type of thinker. That's really deep. I don't want to do that. It is a small step for you. Okay? Small step. For you, maybe it's making the hard but necessary changes in your daily conduct to increase Christ in your living and to decrease sinful thoughts or behaviors. And you would take those small steps to increase light in your life. Second, you can bless someone this Christmas season who may need it. Maybe it's a family member, acquaintance, someone that maybe you've disassociated from, or you realize may need something, or you just want to bless them. Those would be your small little steps of kindness that you can do to bring God's kingdom into the world. So to conclude, so we move into in the closing song, Go Tell on the Mountain. We reflect on the Christmas traditions that have come before us, and even though experiencing trials, look to Jesus and His birth, not only to get them through, but inspire them to take the song of Jesus to the world. We reflect on how an aspect of Christmas is about bringing light into the dark world. We worship Jesus. When He decided to come to earth in the form of a baby, birth in the name of Saul. And then we take action this Christmas season to bring His good to the people we know and to those in our community